Well, I hope that you have been reading this month. I hope that you have been learning and growing. I know sometimes with finals and a lot of different things happening, we can let that precious time slip away and we can have other things distract us. I hope you take on the challenge of working through the book of Isaiah. But in addition to that, each week we have started to memorize a verse from the book of James. And the plan is in the fall, we've been doing our regular, you know, God's resources, the gospel, those types of things. But when we get to the spring, we want to memorize a chapter. It's really fruitful to get the whole context of it. And if you've been here the last few years, you've already done James 1 and you've done James 2. And believe it or not, even if you don't review it very much, those things stick with you for a lifetime. And now we're on James 3. And if you're like, wait, I had no idea we were doing this, this is a good reminder that this is what we're doing. It doesn't take too terribly long. Every day in the reading plan, it even gives you a little bit of an assignment. Read it and think about it. Write it down. Share it to someone else. Spend time memorizing. That's what our hope is. But I wanted to take some time and talk about chapter 3, especially the first part, because it talks about the tongue. And this section is learning how to tame the untamable. Learning how to tame the untamable. And when you think of the Christmas season, you're like, this isn't very Christmassy. It's okay. You can have a lesson that's not a Christmas lesson during Christmas time. But you're about to be with family, and you're going to be with a lot of family. And you might be in situations that test and try your patience, possibly. When it comes to your friends, you gravitate towards people who think like you and talk like you and do the things that you do. But when you're with family, there are some difficulties that may come up. And so when we talk about the tongue and some of those possible difficulties, we ask ourselves the simple question, you know, have you ever told a lie? Well, and we know a lie is sin, all right? God commands us not to lie. We are to be truthful. And even if you're a Christian, you have repented and placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are times that you feel that it's necessary or it's easier to lie. Well, what are the consequences that can come from lying? We can go on and on and on. All of the difficulties and the challenges that come with lying. Have you ever said a bad word? And the world tries to redefine, well, what is bad? And maybe it's bad to you, but not bad to you. Well, it's pretty obvious to know which words are crude and are gross and that we shouldn't be using. And there are times that we blurt those out. There are times that we just simply think those things. And then there are oftentimes, if you're an unbeliever, that's just how you talk because you don't care otherwise. And then lastly, have you ever said something hurtful to someone else? And this might be the most applicable when it comes to the Christmas time. Because I am pretty sure that we all could think back to that time with mom or with dad or with that family member. And we wanted to get back at them or we wanted to say our piece or we didn't quite think it all the way through. And then we say something. And as I've heard the illustration, it's like a board that you nail things into. Well, if you take that word back, if you take that phrase back, if you pull that nail out, what's still there? The hole is still there. The consequence is still there. And so if you are a Christian, you should want to control the tongue. You should want to speak things that are glorifying to God, knowing that it's a constant battle and a constant struggle in our life. And we're here, sitting here to saying, I love Jesus, you love Jesus, we have sinned in this way. How do we move forward? And how do we speak with love and with grace? And how does our, the way we talk to people and we talk about people, how does that draw others to Christ or picture Christ? Well, we need to learn how to tame the untamable. James starts out in chapter 3 with the tongue's impactful nature, and he gives a warning. This warning says, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. If you are interested or you are considering being a formal teacher in a formal setting, all right, you need to be able to control your tongue. But if you're going to be an example to anybody, then you need to make sure that what you're saying is consistent with what you are doing, all right? This is a warning in the church for those that are teachers specifically, but we can translate this into any part of this life. If we're going to say, hey, follow me, I'm following Jesus, our tongue needs to match what our deeds are. If you can control the tongue, you can control so much. And there are three analogies about the impact of the tongue that James gives us, and these come from nature. You think of a horse, a bit for a horse. And I know you've grown up in a different time, in a different place, but I grew up in a little rural town called Southlake, right? And next to us, the dude next to us had horses. So we would go feed the horses, and there were times that we would ride the horses. I think the last time I rode a horse, my brother said, hey, I was with one of my brothers, and then he said, Justin, the horse is out of control. You're going to have to jump. And then when I came to, I looked up, and he was on top of the horse laughing at me. And now you know why I don't ride horses. But these are massive creatures. They are so beautiful, and they are so strong, and they are so powerful. But if you take that bit and you put it into the horse's mouth, they what? You can direct them. And it's the same thing with our tongue. Our tongue directs our actions. It directs our interactions and how people think about us. You control the horse by the bit in the mouth. If you control the tongue, you control the body. You control the body. And then he gives an example of a rudder. Look at the ships also. Oh, sorry. Go back. Pretend that didn't happen. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. Again, you might not be on the water very often. You may never have worked a boat or been in anything like that, but the rudder is at the back and you move it. And when you move it, that steers and it shapes. It's a small part of the boat, but it controls so much. In the same way, the tongue can be a rudder for our life. Goes on, the last illustration from nature would be a small fire, all right? A small fire that grows. It says, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. There was a grass fire when I was growing up, and it raged across. And what it was is someone drove by and they threw out a cigarette from their car. And that cigarette, that little tiny light of the cigarette, caught that whole field on fire. And you think of your life, and maybe it's easier to think of times that people hurt you, but sometimes the slander that we participate in, we think it's harmless, no harm, no foul. Did you hear about her, and what about this, and the little lie that you tell that snowballs into another lie and another lie, and the words spoken in anger, and the things where you say you're good for nothing, or you're so ugly, and you're worthless, and I can't stand you, and these things that often you don't really even mean, but in the heat of the moment, that expression comes out, and then fortunately, this is Christmas a lot of times. This is the holiday season. Especially with family, we get kind of used to them and things that we would never say at school or we would never say on our sports team or whatever it is. We're more than happy to be comfortable to throw these things around. And James goes on to write, the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity, and the tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. We have to remember that any sin separates us from God, that we are all born in our trespasses and sins, right? We speak according to what our heart is. And that sin, even a lie, even a slanderous thing, even gossip, that's enough to separate us and have us cast into the lake of fire. And this doesn't paint a great picture for us, does it? We're talking about how do I tame it, and all I've said is how it is untamable. Well, when it comes to animals, every species of beast and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. And you're like, well, I don't know about that. Have we tamed crocodiles? Well, we don't have crocodiles like running through our streets, stealing our stuff and driving our cars off, do we? No, we're man. Take that, crocodile. Go back in the water or we'll kill you or we'll do whatever we need to, okay? But there are really cool things that we've done with animals and we train them and stuff like that that's there. But the idea is that the tongue cannot be tamed except by God's path and God's design. And on our own, the tongue cannot be tamed because it is a restless evil and is simply full of deadly poison. And if you're going to do things your way, how you want, instead of it doing God's way, then you're never going to tame the tongue and you're never going to overcome and glorify God in this. Does this leave us helpless? Does it leave us hopeless? How is the tongue to be tamed? How is the tongue to be tamed? Just very simply, when you think of it, and you have like the screaming guy, and now you got the cute little girl and the little tongue, and she's spitting it at you, but pretend that it's being tamed. It starts with the heart. Starts with the heart. Your mouth speaks what's in here. And if you tell gross jokes, you know what's in here? Gross stuff. And it's just welling up. And if you're rude, and if you're nasty, and if you're full of rage and bitterness, and you're just mad at the world, that's what's going to come out. But if my heart is pure, and if my heart is right, well, then good things are going to come out with it. I mean, imagine how the good that you can do by building people up. And man, I love that sweater. And hey, how are you doing? And this is a great thing. And so good to be here. And I've been praying for you. How have you been? Those are the things that, we like that. It's good, but it starts with the heart. And a right heart starts with the right relationship. If you have repented and placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a new heart. You have a new life. The Spirit now indwells you. The fruit of the Spirit bubbles up and it goes out. But if you are dead in your trespasses and sins, if you are enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, if you are hating one another, your tongue's not going to change. So you have to come to Jesus. And when you have that right relationship gives you the right understanding that I must control my tongue and I can control my tongue. I want to win people to Jesus, and I can't belittle them and lie and tear them down and say, don't you want to follow Jesus too? A right relationship starts with the right understanding, and a right understanding starts with the right motivation. I want to know God. I want to serve God. I want to glorify God, and that right motivation is going to start a right discipline. It's going to start a right discipline. Is it easy to guard what you say? It can be tough. So that's why we want to make sure that we're in the Word. That's why we want to make sure that we're memorizing and meditating on God's truth. That's why we want to be in prayer. That's why we want to be going to church and fellowshipping with God's people. It is difficult to do the right thing and to say the right thing. So we need all the help that we can get. So if you're an unbeliever, my challenge to you would be to repent and believe, or you're always going to be what you do, how you are, the way you do it. It's not going to change. And relationships are going to be caught on fire and you're going to be wild and out of control in this life. But for the believer, heed these words. Seek to put safeguards in place and limitations and hold yourself accountable and repent and say you're sorry and ask for forgiveness where those things are needed. And if we in this room all love Jesus and we all tame our tongue and we all use our tongue for his glory, imagine how he could use that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are a great and awesome God, and we are so thankful for the ability to control the tongue, which only comes through having your Holy Spirit indwelling us and from knowing you, from being forgiven. Pray that we would meditate on these truths, and I hope that tonight would spur all of us on to want to memorize James 3 so that we can say these words, meditate on these truths back to our own heart so that we would be careful to apply them. We love you, Lord, and thank you for your Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen.